All right, Vernon and Dina, that's like baptism dedication. We just got to get you signed up for a membership, and then we'll get you your parking space and a key to the executive spa here at Vernon Alliance. I know many of you others have key to that same spa, right? Congratulations, I trust we'll see. I know that there are a lot of other, that's probably not nice to call them pandemic babies. Probably not many moms would want their children to be known as that. But we've got a few other births that need to be recognized and celebrated in our community. And I trust in the coming months, Bentley will be the first in a long line of people that we can just recognize, welcome into our extended family, and just celebrate these normal passages of life that we've been a little handicapped from doing over the past, oh, how long has it been? 14 years? It feels like that. We are, as you saw on the screen, kicking off our summer series today, because I guess tomorrow is the beginning of summer. And that series will be one in the book of Proverbs. So we won't get to do a thorough study in a couple months, but I trust that we'll get in a few selective passages that are key parts, and also look at a few themes that you can find as you travel the book. So I encourage you. I know lots of some people in their devotional practice do a chapter of Proverbs a day, because there's 31 chapters, so you can basically get through Proverbs in a month. Invite you to look at that book in your own study, and we'll hopefully glean some of the good things that God has for us in that over July and August. Typically when you start a series, particularly a Bible book, you often do an introduction, start at the beginning, explain what it's about, and we should do that today, except it's Father's Day. And the book of Proverbs is uniquely designed to speak to dads. And I just thought it would be a shame to like do the introductory thing and then talk about dads some other day when we're not really all there. So let's just look at what the book of Proverbs might say to fathers. Then next week I'll get back to the introduction of the book. So if you have your Bibles here or at home, I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Which will guide our study a bit today. And as you're turning there, just two little other updates I wanted to give you. One was last week, we let you know about the Global Emergency Response Fund and our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, their response to the pandemic in India. And if you've been watching the news, you know that they've been hit hard. Some different variants are making it very difficult there. I'm happy to let you know that in 1 week, Vernon Alliance has raised $8,100 to go to that emergency response fund. And we're going to keep that open for a few more weeks. If you go on digital giving, you can select the GERF, or Global Emergency Response Fund. If you use an envelope and you're putting it in as you go out, you can also just make it out to that, and we'll make sure that it goes in that direction. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to read the first 9 verses of Proverbs chapter 4, and then we're going to try to then draw out some encouragement for dads that give us maybe some encouragement on one hand and maybe a motivational kick in the butt as well. I want to recognize that those of you watching online or here in the room, probably more than 50% are not dads. But I suspect that you can connect the dots on how God might be speaking to you, whether you're a mom, a grandparent, someone who is involved in the life of someone else, or you're just a follower of Jesus or getting to know him. I think there's something here for you. And one other caveat. I know, because I'm a professional holy man and speaking about being a dad, you might think, well, of course, Jason just does everything exactly right as a father. I just feel I need to kind of confess to you this morning, there are times that I do think I'm doing good as a dad and see these people that my children are becoming, and I go, well, I had a part in that. And there are other times that I know that I am not giving my fathering the attention that it deserves. And if my wife were here, she would certainly confirm that sentiment. So just whatever I dish out to you this morning, I need to dish that out humbly, because I am not someone who has parenting down pat, and I need every bit as much of God's help as any dad who is here this morning. So let me pray for me and for you as we get into it today. Heavenly Father, and like we already heard this morning, we use that with gratitude this morning. You are our dad. We ask that you would speak to us as dads today. Help us as parents. Help us love our kids. Because we really do believe and feel like they are among the best gifts that we can possibly have as human beings. And at the same time, we often feel clueless as to how we're supposed to steward them or care for them in a way that honors you and doesn't wreck them. So please speak to us, and may your Holy Spirit point us in some ways that you may be calling us today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all my heart, with all your heart. Keep my commandments and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. If you look closely at this passage we just read, you will see that this is a father speaking to his son, or probably we should say sons, because it looks like it's plural. And if you were to do some basic research on the book of Proverbs, which we will do next week together, you will see that the father speaking here is likely King Solomon himself, one that God gave an incredible, a divine gift, really, of wisdom. So this is Solomon, one of the world's foremost sages, if I could say it that way, who is a son and a father himself, who is uniquely inspired by the Holy Spirit, passing on his wisdom and experience to his sons, and by extension to us as his sons and daughters in the faith. So what's he saying to us as dads in particular, and to us as parents more generally? Well, first of all, I think he is calling us as dads to be teachers. What do you think, dads? Have you ever thought of yourself as teacher? Well, you are. God has put you in your family so that you can teach your kids to live well. And yes, that probably means teaching them how to ride a bike or build a fire. But even more than that, God has placed you in your family to give moral instruction and guidance to your brood, teaching them how to live wisely, how to avoid stupidity, to keep them from wasting their life, or even worse, bringing evil and destruction on others around them. You are a key part of God's educational pipeline. I want you to see how that pipeline works. Again, let's just go back to verse 1. Again, Solomon talking. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. So what we're getting here in Proverbs 4 is wisdom that Solomon's dad, David, had passed on to him. Verse 3, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, and then he starts passing on the wisdom that he learned from a previous generation. But if you pay attention, the wisdom that Solomon is passing on to his son and to us doesn't just go as far back as his dad. Solomon sees the pipeline going back further still. This is Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. And so the philosophy behind Solomon's teaching here is that dads, and of course not just dads, but moms too, parents are a part of this educational pipeline that begins with the paradoxical dad, the greatest dad ever, our heavenly father. As the creator, God has designed the world with purpose. And he designed people to fit into that world, to find life and joy and fulfillment. And he wants us to figure that out. And the way we figure out our purpose, at least the normal intended pathway to learning what the world is about and where we fit in it, the way we get that, the way we discern our place in God's creation, the way we learn how we can relate to him and know God and how we relate to other people is to learn all of that, not from books, not at school, but from our parents. Let's think about how we as 21st century Canadians often think about family for a little bit. And I am heavily influenced here by the late Christian ethicist Lewis Smedes. And he says, look, at the core of every single society in the world, no matter where you live, India, Canada, South America, Mongolia, at the core of every society is this little community we call the family. And the leaders of the family are, of course, the parents or the parent. And I think we understand that. It's pretty obvious just by looking at the shape of things. But what we may not always understand is God's primary intention for the role of a parent. What he thinks about parenting and how we influence our children may actually be different than what our culture thinks about parenting. I think we as Canadians think about parenting primarily in providing specialized services for young and growing people, right? Restaurant services, innkeeping services, babysitting and supervision services, laundromat services, transportation, financial, protective, counseling services, right? Is this just me? There's got to be at least a nod. Some of you parents must have provided these things for your kids. These are all good roles, things we must do, jobs we have if we have children in our family. You have to do this stuff if you're going to be a good dad. And because this is good stuff, we, and I include myself in that, we may stop short and think, well, that's just what I need to do. I need to just kind of keep the jobs flowing. I produce or I adopt some kids. I care for them. I protect them. I keep them under control, or at least the best control I can. I provide a healthy environment for them to grow and learn. I give them emotional and physical support. I help them develop their bodies and their minds. I make sure that they know that they're loved and valued. And then once they are equipped with the basic tools of life, they are slowly, some of them quickly, released into the big wide world to find out who they really are and what is really important to them. And if I've done my job as dad, I hope they'll figure that out in due time. Now again, a lot of that is good. God affirms parents as they care for their children in all of these ways. But if we just stop with kind of helping them grow up safely and comfortably, we could miss out on the critical part of parenting, at least the critical part of parenting from God's perspective. What makes being a dad more than just serving kids as they grow up is that it is unlike any other relationship we have in the world. We are uniquely poised as parents We are given unique authority. Our children listen to us in a way no other, they listen to any other adult. And if you read the stats, you may think, oh, you know, you're the pastor, Jason, or there are other teachers or influence that they listen to way more. They listen to their friends. The stats show over and over and over and over again that mom and dad are the primary influencers, the voices that our kids listen to the most. And we are given that by God, the opportunity to tell our children what is good, what is true, what is of ultimate importance in this world. We are teachers. There is something unique about dads in that they function as the most important, along with their moms, of the most important authority in a child's life. And what makes a dad unique as a dad is that I use my place, my authority, to pass on values, morals, truth to my kids. And because of my unique relationship with them, they need to hear and see what is of ultimate importance. They need to get that from me. And if I do all the other stuff, cleaning, disciplining, providing, making sure that they feel loved and valued in, but I fail to teach and model what is right, what is admirable, what is ultimately of significance and worth, if I fail to give them every opportunity to understand who God is and what pleases Him, then I have let God down as a parent, because from His perspective, that is my most important job. That is the primary responsibility He has placed on my shoulders, to use my influence, the authority given to me, to instill in my children a compass for what is right and wrong, to understand the difference between what is temporal and what is eternal. Here's Lewis Smedes, who says it in a way more educated way than I'm saying it. He says, a family is not a spillover from our romantic passions, nor a product of society's requirement that parents provide their offspring with bed and board, nor is it a little circle of people deriving emotional support from living together, nor is it a social contrivance for keeping our broods in control, one which would become obsolete if a social planner could find a better one. In a Judeo-Christian sense, family is rooted in the Creator's design for the ongoing nurture of children who bring faith and moral value into the next generation. To undermine, neglect, or replace that is to wreck the core community that makes all other communities possible. So, dads, we need you, not just to provide, not just to make decisions, but to teach, to lead at home, to model what wise living looks like so your son or your daughter can see it lived out and then teach it and model it and live it out before their children someday. So dads, grandpas, moms too, how's that going for you? When's the last time you had a conversation with your children about spiritual matters? Do your kids know about the relationship you have with Jesus? Do they know why you believe the things that you do, why you live and structure your family this particular way? What stories have you told them about God's involvement and faithfulness in your life? Have you ever processed life's experiences with them using Scripture in some way or form? And if you're not satisfied with your answers, then how might the Holy Spirit be calling you to change? What steps do you need to take so that you can live up to your calling as teacher in your kids' lives? Now, as you might have guessed, just like telling people stuff and teaching them that's not just the only part of our calling as dads. The start of this proverb reveals that there's actually another part to it, and that God is also calling us to be passionate learners. Many dads here are, and those online as well, are married. And I want those of you who have a significant other to think back to the way that you pursued your spouse in such a way that eventually you fooled them and they started loving you back. I don't know how far you need to go back for that. It's going back like more than 25 years now for me. But I can still recall the passion in which I used to win Cindy's affection. A lot of time when we were in college together, I was writing notes, and just for some of you unfamiliar with the technology, there was something called a piece of paper. We had writing utensils called pens, and we like wrote things down, and sometimes when you're far away, you put it in a box, and the mailman took it and delivered it, and it came like the physical thing. Any of you recall this technology? You guys are a hard audience this morning. When I was tree planting, I tree planted for 4 years in northern BC. So late at night when I was tired from a day of tree planting, I just would most likely want to go to bed or hang out with the other guys, but I was up writing letters. When I was in the dorm, I would stay up late at night getting relationship advice from other hormonally driven 18-year-olds, which is always the best place to go for relationship advice. In the summertime, I remember one time tree planting, we had 4 days off in a row, which was unusual. And so those of us who had girlfriends back in southern Alberta decided that we were going to rent a vehicle. So we rented a Ford Taurus. Some of you may remember those beautiful cars. But in the back seats, like, I swear you lost a foot of headroom. And so as you had four grown men in the back trying to drive 8 hours one day and sleep at the same time, and we got all the way there, spent 24 hours with our girlfriends, and then drove back to go work. Why all this? Why all the, you know, relationship advice, the writing letters, the spending money and time and planning and thinking and romancing? Why would any sane man do that? Well, I think because you want a partner, you want a lover, a friend to build the rest of your life with, right? That's the idea. And an 8-hour drive in a Taurus is a small price to pay if you get the woman that you love. In fact, I still feel like I'm getting a pretty good payoff from that car ride. I have a great friend, a partner, a co-parent, and my kids are great, but I would say that the best gift that I've ever been given is undoubtedly my wife. But here's the thing. When Solomon recalled what his father David had taught him, the thing that stood out most was the call to pursue wisdom with the same kind of passion and single-minded focus and dedication that any young man would pursue their love. Listen to Solomon again in verses 7 to 9. Again, he's talking to his son. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Do you hear kind of the romantic pursuit language? Look, go after her, her being wisdom. Do everything in your power. Spend all that you have. Though it cost you everything, get wisdom. Embrace her with all you have. Never let her go, because once she's yours, you will be rewarded for the rest of your life. The point is, if we are going to have wisdom and discernment and moral teaching to pass on to our children, dads, then we ourselves must be men who pursue wisdom and discernment and righteousness with all the zeal, all the single-mindedness, all the passion that we use to go after the women in our life. Almost everybody here who's a professional in some way knows about lifelong learning, right? The idea is that if you're going to be of value as a pipe fitter or a chef or a mechanic or a lawyer or a dental hygienist, you probably in the 21st century shouldn't go tell your boss, look, I got my certificate at BCIT 20 years ago. I can prove it. Here's the papers. What more do you want from me? I'm qualified. I've got the degree. Stop bugging me. I just work. I don't learn anymore. I suspect that that's not going to cut it with most bosses nowadays, right? The world changes fast. Technology changes fast. Construction standards change fast. The standards in the dental office, at the medical office, at the hospital, at the construction site, that stuff changes quickly. And if you want to be of value to your employer, the best posture you can learn is to be a lifelong learner, to keep learning from the best teachers, to understand how that wisdom that you got originally, how the certificate you originally earned, how that stuff applies now in new situations, how they're doing it better today based on what they've learned before. So, dads, if you are called to be the primary influencer and educator of your son or your daughter, or plural sons and daughters, if you are actually ordained to connect them with their Creator, if it is your divine calling to tell them what Jesus has done for them and to model what it's like to follow after Him, then how are you staying current with the curriculum? What have you learned from Jesus lately? How is your faith journey, which maybe you began 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 25 years ago, 55 years ago, how is that faith now adapting to the new realities that are here in our world and that weren't here necessarily a decade ago? Are you a passionate learner? And I don't just mean reading self-help books. As Christians, we claim to be disciples of Jesus, the Son of God Himself. And the crazy thing is that Jesus wants to teach you. He wants to show you how to live your life. He wants to be the primary dispenser of wisdom that you have. He's not just some ancient sage in a toga who spits out random proverbs once in a while. He is the smartest, most insightful person who has ever walked the face of the planet. Dallas Willard says this: Jesus is smart. He's not just nice, he is brilliant. He is the smartest man who has ever lived. And he is now supervising the entire course of human history while simultaneously preparing the rest of the universe for our future role in it. He always has the best information on everything, and certainly on the things that matter most in the human life. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus wants your life, your kids, your family to succeed, to achieve the purpose for which they were created, that that actually is His intended plan, and that He would love to show you how that could be possible? He actually promises in the New Testament that our lives will be fruitful, that we will make a difference, that we will bring life to our families, if only, and this is John 15, if only we will abide in Him. So dads, learn from Him, spend time with Him, pursue Him with all you've got, and do what He says, and you will find that you will be fruitful, that you will be a better teacher, that you will, in fact, live better according to the purpose for which you were made. So again, the question. Dads, moms, grandpas, whoever, are you pursuing Jesus? Are you chasing after him, though it cost you everything? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And who do you have, and I'm speaking particularly to men here in the room and at home, who do you have around you that is pursuing Jesus, that is running in the same direction? Because here's what I know. If I want to get better at jumping my mountain bike this summer, if I want to figure out how to ride berms at Silver Star better, then I should go and hang out with people who are passionate about biking. If you want to hone your fishing skills, if you want to go after the big bulls this summer, if you want to find out which flies are working in the lakes and rivers around here and which ones are not, where the best holes are, well, you should hang out with other fishermen, at least the kind that are willing to share their secrets, right? So guys, if we know that, why is it true that so many of us try to follow Jesus in isolation from others? I know that I can't do it. For almost my entire adult life, I have intentionally placed other men around me who are spurring me on to learn and grow and how to apply Jesus' teaching to my life. Who do you got? And if your answer is no one, then I would say, look, this is what churches are designed to do, to connect you to other people who will help you more intentionally follow Jesus. And so all you need to do is ask, and we'll do all we can to connect you, but you got to want to go. This past week, my second oldest turned 15. My oldest daughter will turn 17 next week. On Wednesday, the same day that my second turned 15, she got her driver's license, which means glorious new days of independence and not having to drive everyone everywhere all the time. And as I think about her development, I know that in the next year, personally, I want to get in shape better. I want to grow in my capacity to do my job. I want to be a better equipped pastor for the sake of Vernon Alliance Church. But I also want to release that kid into the world with the moral and spiritual grounding she needs to thrive as a woman. So, in light of that day, which will arrive like that, 1 year from now, what do I need to learn from Jesus? And conversely, what do I need to model and teach today? How do you answer that question yourself? Why don't you stand as I pray for you? So, Heavenly Father, and we use that with joy and gladness this morning. It is, if we genuinely consider that, a privilege and a marvel to think that we could call you Dad, and that would be okay with you to get that familiar with you. And we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus and his work that allows us to be adopted into your family. And it's not just that you want to, like, save us so that we can go to heaven when we die, but in fact, you adopt us into your family so we can find out who we truly are. We can figure out our place in this world. We receive support from you to navigate the challenges of this world, and we actually can grow to be the best versions of ourselves as your Holy Spirit works in us to make real the life of Jesus in us. So I want to pray for dads in particular, because this is their day today, but also moms, also grandpas, also other people here who will be investing in the life of others. I pray first and foremost that we will be learners, that we will, like the early disciples who followed or have gone way before us, that we sit often at your feet, Jesus, that we would be aficionados of your word, that we dedicate ourselves to study, that we connect ourselves to other people who love you just as much or even more than we do, and that you would deepen us as a result, give us the wisdom that we need. And conversely, help us to take our role as teachers, developers, encouragers, mentors of our children, not just like on how to like do stuff and drive a car and run a house, but what it means to live a life following Jesus, loving our Creator, and loving others the way that He calls us to do. Give us a new zeal and new passion to do that. Holy Spirit, we know we can't do it on our own. Would you fill us in a new way? Pray this in Jesus' name.